Can't Wait for Christmas is a proud member of the Christmas Podcast Network.
Hey, buddy, what you doing?
Is it Christmas yet?
No, sorry, not yet.
I can't wait for Christmas.
Yeah, I can't wait for Christmas either. In fact, let's celebrate now.
Welcome to the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast.
Welcome, Yule Believers, to this special bonus Christmas Eve edition of the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast, the podcast all about Christmas history, Christmas traditions, Christmas media, and everything else Christmas. I'm your host and guy who's super happy there's only two more sleeps till Christmas, Tim Babb. Well, it's almost here. It's almost Christmas! Now, I don't know if folks outside of America feel this, but when Thanksgiving is late in November, Christmas really comes quick. Which is good on one hand, because, you know, I want Christmas to get here quick, but on the other hand, I kind of feel rushed because Christmas prep is squished between that tiny and narrow window between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and there's a whole bunch I haven't done. And speaking of things I haven't done, let's move to the first of two segments that I've been neglecting this year, Santa Babb's Mailbag.
Santa Babb, he is gonna read some emails from you, or tweets, or Facebook messages too. Santa Babb, he is opening up his mailbag tonight.
I think I've only done this once this year, but you folks are good enough to A, listen, and then B, leave comments on the website, and I've been quite lax in responding to them. So, like a student trying to cram in makeup work before the end of the semester, I'm gonna dive into several of these comments before the end of the year. Let's start with this first one from two episodes ago when we talked about the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. One of the things we mentioned was about how a woman taking flying lessons tried to catch one of the balloons with her plane. The plane went into a dive and then she turned off the engines to avoid a fire when they crashed, so the instructor had to step in, restart the engines, and pull them out of the dive. This clearly struck a chord with listener Dave, who wrote, "I actually am a flight instructor, and with some students, the flying bit was a little too close to the truth. Thanks, Tim." First of all, Dave, that frightens me that any part of that is too close to your experience while giving flying lessons. Are your students crazy? Second of all, I realized after that episode aired, I left out some even more crazy details. While the instructor was pulling out of the dive, the plane's door flew open and the student almost fell out. The instructor had to pull her back in while he was pulling up from the dive. Also, that story may make you think the student clearly wasn't cut out to be a pilot. Well, nope. Her name was Annette Gibson, and she went on to be a competitive air racer and the founder of the annual Annette Gibson All-Woman Air Race. Plus, she was close friends with Amelia Earhart. I don't know if there's been a movie about this lady's life story, but if there isn't, there should be. Hollywood, let's make one less sequel nobody asked for and one less live-action adaptation of an animated thing nobody asked for and get to work on the Annette Gibson story. Also, thanks again, Dave, and good luck up there. Stay safe. Next, we move on to our October episode, where we had special guest Alonzo Duralde on to talk about the anniversary of White Christmas. This is clearly not only one of Alonzo's favorite Christmas films, but also Jeffrey, who wrote, "Merry Christmas, Tim. Just listened to your latest episode about White Christmas. I spent most of the interview saying, now wait, how about, but isn't it true? In other words, I loved it. White Christmas is my favorite Christmas movie, in a strong fight with The Muppet Christmas Carol, that I used to watch every Christmas Eve when Channel 8 would show it after the 10 o'clock news. I know you can't cover everything in one short interview, so I would like to share my favorite bits of trivia that weren't covered. Number 1. Dean Jagger, the old man, General Waverly, being put out to pasture, was 51 when the film was released, the same age as Bing Crosby, 6 months older, who came to his rescue. Number 2. Older sister Betty, Rosemary Clooney, was 26, as opposed to her younger sister Judy, Vera Ellen, who was 33. Number 3. The inn is the same set used in Holiday Inn. Number 4. Between Fred Astaire and Danny Kaye, Donald O'Connor was scheduled to star opposite Bing, so he could do big dance numbers with Vera Ellen like they did the year before in Call Me Madam. He had to bow out due to a rare illness, and the script was reworked for a third time. The role of the anonymous lead male dancer in Abraham, Choreography, and Mandy would have been O'Connor. Just for grins, I present the worst drinking game ever. Every time you see Judy's, Vera Ellen's, neck, take a drink. Nobody's getting tipsy in this game. Thank you, Jeffrey. As we've just heard, I can clearly not be trusted to not leave important facts out of my episodes, so thank you so much for picking up my slack and giving us those great extra tidbits about White Christmas. And sometimes I don't just leave something out, apparently I just flat out get it wrong. Like in our episode about fruitcake, where I said it was generally a well-liked gift, but only made a turn to being a disliked gift in the 70s and 80s. Well, Rob has some evidence to challenge that timeline. He writes, fruitcake must have been reviled in the 1950s too, though, because there was a Christmas episode of The Donna Reed Show, which aired in the late 50s, early 60s, in which Donna was giving out wrapped gifts. The receiver said excitedly, "Oh!" And then she told them, "It's a fruitcake!" And then they unenthusiastically said, "Oh." Huh. Well, I guess fruitcake as a punchline started earlier than I thought. Maybe I'll have to do a fruitcake follow-up sometime in the future. Thanks, Rob. Now it's time for the other segment I've only done once this year because I've been neglecting it. It's All I Want for Christmas is News.
Baby, all I want for Christmas is news. Yeah. Give me that news, baby.
Yeah, news.
I found this story on my number one source for news, The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
Apparently, according to a new poll, Americans are over Christmas traditions. What? Christmas is traditions. You can't be over them and still have Christmas. If you don't put out your wooden shoes, how will Sinterklaas fill them? With dried fruits and nut meat. For a prosperous harvest. Think, Hans, think.
Yes, there was a poll of 2,000 people commissioned by the St. Pierre Bakery that I wasn't able to view the results of directly, only the New York Post's article about the results. But it said 60% of respondents wanted to change up to traditional Christmas dinner. And of that 60%, 44% would rather have pizza, 38% would rather have tacos, 34% Chinese food, and 33% would rather have a nice juicy burger.
That's more than 100%.
What's that, imaginary listener? Sounds kind of like Kermit the Frog?
It's Carl, but 44, 38, 34, and 33 adds up to more than 100%.
Well, maybe they could pick more than one option. Like I said, I couldn't see the actual poll results.
Well, it seems odd that you're spending this long talking about this, then.
But get this, here are the top five traditions people want to replace the current ones with. Number one, spend all day in pajamas rather than getting dressed up. Number two, focus on quality time rather than elaborate decorations, gifts, or meals. Number three, take a vacation. Number four, have a themed Christmas like Tropical Christmas or Christmas in Pajamas. Or number five, go on a quiet personal retreat.
Wait, there are people who don't spend all day in their pajamas?
I mean, you spend all day every day in your pajamas, so...
Don't you hate on my lifestyle, Bab!
Alright, fine, but listen to the top five traditions they want to get rid of. Number one, sending Christmas cards. Number two, ugly sweater parties. Number three, gift giving. Number four, Secret Santa gift exchanges. And number five, listening to Christmas songs. Can you believe that? Christmas music? That's one of the most magical parts of the season. I guess these people won't be listening to our annual Imaginary Listener sing-along.
Oh, nobody will be listening to that this year.
What? Why not?
Oh, the gang is about to leave.
Leave? Where are they going?
Oh, we got tickets to one of those sing-along screenings of Wicked. Which is ironic if you think about it.
Wait, hold on a second. Hey, you guys aren't gonna leave before we sing our yearly Christmas sing-along, are you?
Yeah, we are. These Christmas traditions are old-fashioned, and we're starting a new one.
Come on, imaginary listener who sounds a bit like George Bailey. You don't mean that.
Besides, why should we do a sing-along this year? You haven't used this in an episode since 2023 at least, huh?
Well, I'm sorry about that, imaginary listener who sounds kind of like Mickey Mouse, but for trademark purposes, it's definitely not Mickey Mouse.
You don't have to do that. Mickey Mouse is in the public domain now.
Well, sort of, imaginary listener with asthma who sounds suspiciously like Darth Vader. The character is free of copyright, but Disney still owns a trademark on the name Mickey Mouse.
I regret bringing it up.
Come on, gang. Let's go to the movie theater so we have time to get snacks.
Wait, hold on. You can't really be ready to give up on singing a Christmas song with me.
I'm telling you, Boomer, it's time to let go of these old traditions and do something new.
You realize I'm only like a couple years off from being a millennial, much less being a boomer, right?
Face it, Bab. These traditions just don't hold the sway they once did.
Well, I hope you're happy. I hope you're happy now.
Wait, what's that music?
Something has changed this Christmas. Something is not the same. You don't want to sing with us, and I really think that's quite a shame. Buddy the Elf once told us the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loudly for everyone to hear. So don't be shy, just try some caroling. Lift your voice high and try some caroling and make a merry sound.
So who asked for a Christmas-themed parody of Defying Gravity?
I did! It's me!
Oh no.
It's me! So if you need inspiration, look to Christmas history. So many carols out there, everyone can find a song to sing. From Rudolph's shiny red nose, to some kids to front teeth, to Kelly Clarkson's classic underneath the tree. Don't ask me why, just try some caroling. Lift your voice high and try some caroling and spread good cheer around. Try Silent Night or Jingle Bells or Let It Snow or Silver Bells or Santa Claus Coming to Town.
You should try some singing.
Yeah!
Christmas Story, we're
coming to town.
So carol
fa la la la.
So the only reason the imaginary listener who sounds like Kermit the Frog mentioned we were going to see a Wicked sing-along was so that you could motivate this incredibly forced parody song?
It's actually Carl, and who can say? Not me, because the show's over. That's our show, and that's our year! Thanks, everybody, for listening to another 12 months of Christmas on the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast. I'd like to thank everybody who makes this show possible, my lovely wife and my adorable kids, who you hear in the intro to every episode, and my wonderful mother, who does the outro. Thanks to Mysterious Andy, who handles any tech problems that come up for me, and of course, our amazing band leader, Kristen, whose lovely accordion playing can be heard now as I'm babbling. And of course, thanks to all the other members of the Christmas Podcast Network, who over the course of this year helped out with 5 golden things. It was fun to be able to give you a little flavor of their shows on this show. And last but not least, I want to again sincerely thank everybody who listens to this. Whether you're new to the show or you've been with us since the start, I appreciate every single one of you, and I'm glad you've taken this audio sleigh ride with us. I hope you have a magical and merry Christmas and a safe and joyful new year. And until we meet again, Yule Believers, keep laughing all the way.
And that was Christmas 1983.
Actually, Dad, it's 2024.
Oh.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, if you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, aka iTunes, and email us about it at christmas@tancast.com, we'll send you a free Can't Wait for Christmas sticker. If you'd like to see the show notes or leave a comment on this or any other episodes, you can go to our official website, can'twaitforchristmaspod.com. While you're there, you'll find a link to our official Zazzle store, where you can grab customizable t-shirts, ornaments, stickers, and all sorts of other Christmas-themed items all year long. We'd love to connect with you on social media. On TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads, we are Can't Wait for Christmas Pod. And on the app formerly known as Twitter, we are @ChristmasPod. We Wish You a Merry Christmas was performed by the United States Marine Corps Band, and this amazing version of Jingle Bells on the accordion was performed by the wonderful and talented Christian Nowicki. All other music and sounds used in this episode are the properties of their individual copyright holders, and they are used for purposes of commentary and review. No infringement is intended. Okay, boys, did I forget anything?
God bless us, everyone.
Merry Christmas!
First of all, Dave, that frightens me that any part of that is too close to your experience when teaching frying lessons. Not frying lessons, he's not making eggs! Her name was Annette Gibson, and she went on to be a competitive air racer and the founder of the annual Ginep. She founded that! Did you know the Ginep was founded by her? Well, I bet you didn't. Well, now you do. Next, we move on to our October episode, where we had a special guest, Alonzo Dura... No. we had special guests, not a special guest. I mean, he was a special guest, but in terms of the sentence, that article is not necessary, because otherwise the rest of the sentence will sound awkward. Dean Jagger, the old man, General Waverly, being put out to pasture, was 51 when the... tripping over my tongue? He had to bow out due to a... You know why? Because it kind of sounds like doo-doo. He had to bow out due to a rare... Now I'm overpronouncing it. He had to bow out due to a... Now I'm underdoing it again. There's no winning. He had to bow out due to a rare illness, and the script was reworked a third time. Oh, man. I wish my mouth was reworked a third time. He had to bow out due to a rare illness that the script was... Jeffrey, you did such a good job leaving this comment, but I can't say any of it. My lips are revolting against me. He had to bow out due to a rare illness, and the script was reworked for a third time. Well, that wasn't so hard. Why did I get it that time? Ah. And now, it's time for the other segment I've... I've been neglecting learning how to talk. This is a rough one. 38% would rather have tacos, 34% Chinese food, and 33% would have their... At this point, the outtakes are going to be longer than the episode. I'm sorry about that, imaginary listener who sounds like Mickey Mouse, but for trademark... I'm sorry about that, imaginary listener who sounds like Mickey Mouse, but for trademark reasons, is definitely not... Oh my gosh! Whether you're new to the show or you've been here a while, you've definitely noticed I don't know how to talk!